want, and the ones marked yellow really want. Let me read it to you. An eye touch, a laptop, a blizzard maker, air hogs? No idea. Kind of yellow and red here, a fishing pole in brackets, but a really good one. Mario Kart controllable, not quite sure. An iPad, the writing here, I thought it said Caramac, but it's actually camera, in brackets, a good one. And then a phone, okay. So I don't know about our house now, Christmas lists are kind of different because you get them on the computer and you get the link to Amazon on them. So you can actually just... Christmas shopping, for us, shopping list, Karen looks at me, aye, for us. The shopping list, what we need for our food and so on for Christmas. The Christmas card list. Well, who sent us last year? Can we cut it down a wee bit, save a bit of money? Congratulations, you're still in my Christmas card list. But again, how do you work with the Christmas cards and getting organized there? Even Santa is making a list, and he's checking it twice, and he wants to find out who's naughty or nice. Preparations for Christmas. What do we do? Last week, Stephen led our thoughts as we thought about the prophets and all that was pointing years and years and years before to Jesus and to this first Christmas time. Today we think about the angels and all that was involved in their preparation or being involved in the preparations for Christmas. And again, when you think of angels, what do you think? What do you think? The angels and the angels in the story, and what do they look like, and, you know, the children's nativity play. The Christmas angels, what did they look like? What is involved here? In the different images I looked up, I like this one the best. Because you just don't know what it is. And whenever we think, I mean, genuinely, whenever you think about God speaking to us through an angel or the angels, it's mysterious. It's confusing. What's your imagery within that? Way back in the day, was it Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the angels that were depicted there in a big movie? Again, what do they look like? What is this messenger of God, what does he, she, they, it look like? How do you even refer to it? But in this story, we know for sure that the angels were messengers of God. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news, says Gabriel, one of the higher angels, an archangel maybe, but bringing this message to Zechariah in the temple. And it's interesting when you go back to Daniel 8 and Daniel 9, again, Gabriel is the messenger angel sent to Daniel. At a time of despair and time looking for hope, again, Gabriel is involved. And it's interesting to read about, you know, I was kept back and I had to fight my way through. And so, I mean, again, what is going on in the spiritual realm, the angels? It's confusing. But angel messengers sent from God, sent to Zechariah. If you could, please open scripture there. Keep it on your lap. And we're really not leaving much anywhere here between Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 as we think this morning. Luke chapter 1. From verse 8, Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for burning incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Verse 11, Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. We know that that angel was Zechariah. Look just on in chapter 1 at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary, again, Gabriel, the messenger that's there. In Matthew 1, we'll not look at the passage, but Joseph is spoken to through a dream. Was it by an angel? Was it just a dream? Again, we're not really sure there. And then as Patty has read for us earlier, in chapter 2, in verse 8 onwards, again, the shepherds on the hillside, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. Angel messengers sent. But I want to just pick here in these stories that we've just read, God's timing within these stories. Because it's really significant. Zechariah was one of many, many priests. In the priestly lineage, family history, way back. And there are lots and lots of priests, so many that they're actually broken into groups, into divisions, and every now and again they're on duty in the temple. It's a bit like being an usher, being a committee member and on the door. You're not on every week. He wasn't on every week. This was his special time to be on for a period of time. And at this very time as well, through lots being chosen, he is the one who is picked to go in to the holy place and offer incense as the people are outside offering their prayers. And it's then that Gabriel appears to him. There's something significant in the timing. Something significant in the timing. For Joseph and for Mary, there's something significant in the timing. That Caesar Augustus, away in Rome, issues a decree that the whole Roman world should be taxed and should be taken account of to know who's where. And you have to go back to your hometown. And so this promise of Mary's pregnancy actually comes, well, 8 or 9 months before she needs to be in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy that the Savior will be born, the Messiah will be born there. This, again, is not an accident. And the timing of even the Roman, the Caesar, issuing a decree that the months should all stack up properly the way they need to be. God's timing in this is just incredible. And the shepherds in the field, again, we don't know it from the text here, we read into it. But these shepherds, the ones who were allowed closest to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, were the shepherds who were in charge of looking after the flocks that the lambs would be born to be taken to the temple for sacrifice. Now think within that the angels who come to the shepherds are coming to the shepherds they were dodgy people, but this group of shepherds are something different because they're working for the temple, and they're the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God's timing within this is incredible with his angel messengers. God's timing. William Barclay says, "It's a lovely thought that the shepherds who look after the temple lambs were the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But what's the angel's message? The angel's message to Zechariah. Read with me, please, verses 12 through to 14 of chapter 1. "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Words of promise to Zechariah. The shame that was on the family because Elizabeth was childless and was probably a judgment from God. But no, God has not forgotten you. And the hope, the promise of Elizabeth having a child. Significantly, Zechariah's name means God remembers. Zechariah's very name means God remembers. So never mind the fact that Elizabeth will have a child, but this child will be the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing the way. Words of promise. For Mary in chapter 1, verses 28 to 31, we read these words. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The words to the shepherds in chapter 2, verse 11. Again, what do we read here? Chapter 2, verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Words of promise, words of purpose. For Zechariah, again, this whole picture. He will be a joy and delight, will rejoice because of his birth. Many people in Israel, verse 16, will he bring back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The promise, child will be born, his purpose to call people back to the Lord God. Mary in verses 32 and 33, sorry that we're jumping about here, I hope you stick with me. But 31, "You give birth to a child, a son, you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." A new king is born. For Joseph, again, not to jump into Matthew, the verse is this beautiful, amazing verse. "You are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Words of promise, words of purpose, words of praise. Glory to God in the highest. And we think of Zechariah and we think of Mary, and there are songs of praise that burst forth from them that we read in around the passage there too. William Barclay, it is lovely. It's a lovely thought that the choir of heaven took the place of the minstrels on earth, and the angels sang the songs for Jesus that it was impossible for the earthly singers to sing. You see, in the culture when a baby was born, the town musicians, the village musicians came round, and basically they had a hooly, and they celebrated at the joy born into this family. Well, it couldn't happen with Mary and Joseph, so God sent the choir. Isn't that a lovely picture? To celebrate the joy of the birth of this child. Words of promise, words of purpose, words of praise. And for me, as I think about this, there's just one word that just jumps out, and it's hope. We have hope. We have hope. What's the movie? Come on, Margaret. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they're sitting around the table in Mr. Beaver's house. And Mr. Beaver says this one line: "Aslan is on the move." Chapter 7 of the book, they say, "Aslan is on the move. Perhaps he's already landed, said Mr. Beaver. And now a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside. Well, Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling that you have when you wake up in the morning and realize that it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of the summer. Aslan is on the move. When we read these passages in Luke chapter 1 and 2, God is on the move. Let me read you another little bit from chapter 10 of the Chronicles of Narnia. "I've come at last," he said. "She has kept me out for a long time, but I have got in at last. Aslan is on the move. The witch's magic is weakening," said Father Christmas. Because in Narnia, it's always winter, but never Christmas. Aslan is on the move. Words of hope. I was reading just recently, just this week, in a little blog by Rick Hill, who now works in Church House, saying true hope isn't found in a policy or a politician, but in a person called Jesus. Keep moving to finish. The angel mystery, not in Luke 1 and 2, but this verse in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, just rings with me. Even the angels long to look into these things. If you were one of the angels in the choir, sent to the shepherds, what would you be thinking? If you were Gabriel passing on these important messages from God the Father, what would you be thinking? We've already sung this morning, "Yet you left the gaze of angels, came to seek and save the lost, and exchanged the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross." Even the angels long to look into, to understand these things, because this is a mystery beyond us. Colossians chapter 1. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he would have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." Mystery. The mystery of the incarnation. The mystery of the message the angels had to share. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Goodness, folks, look at the two pieces underlined there in the screen if you can't see. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." The fullness of God in Christ. And then the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a mystery. Graham Kendricks writes, "The meekness and majesty." C.S. Lewis, he's getting a good show this morning. "Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our world." Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world, in the form of a little baby. Oh, what a mystery. As an angel involved in this communication, sending these messages, what would you be thinking? Just as we finish, the angel messengers speaking remind me, hopefully remind us of God's timing. That whatever you're going through, whatever you're walking through at this time, God's timing is perfect. The angel messengers reminding us of God's timing. The angel's message reminding us of hope. Again, I don't know your circumstances. You don't maybe know my circumstances. But that again, that God is with us and has our good at his heart. And the angel's mystery is that of wonder. It's the meekness and majesty. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, yet steps into our time, into our world, to bring us hope and salvation. And so we say glory to God in the highest. My goodness. Let's pray together, please. Lord, please remind us in preparing for Christmas that you, in our life, in our journey of faith, you want to walk with us and that your timing is perfect. Lord, in our circumstances, write hope on our hearts, please, we pray. And Lord, help us to never become so familiar with this glorious message that we lose our wonder and the mystery, and yet we hold on to you in faith, Lord, and because you have our good and your glory at heart. Hear our prayer, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.